Well, thank you, team, for all the good work you've done, and for allowing us to laugh and to celebrate and to remember this day when Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is. You know, in John chapter 20, we're told of the resurrection of Jesus appearing first to Mary and then the very next day, his disciples. However, we're told that one of the disciples, named Thomas, was not present when Jesus showed up that first time. And no matter what the rest of the group tells him, Thomas simply doubts the other apostles' testimony and the validity of what they claim to see. We're told that his reaction to them was, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound on his side." You see, he'd heard about the vicious way that they'd driven nails into Jesus' hands instead of just tying him to the cross. And he'd heard about the way the soldiers stabbed him in the side with a spear like a piece of meat. His anger and his doubt blended to become a toxic cocktail of bitterness. "If I don't have physical proof, if I can't touch and feel, I will not believe it," he says. Do you really blame him? It seems like with the death of Jesus, his hopes and his dreams had been utterly dashed. And Thomas was drowning in despair and doubt. And so there's no way that he could believe the unbelievable, at least not without proof. The scripture in John 20 tells us, chapter 20 goes on to tell us that 1 week later, the disciples were in the house again. And this time Thomas was with them. Now, it tells us very clearly that the doors were locked and they were in a secret meeting. See, you need to understand that there were rumors going around that the disciples must have overpowered the Roman guards, broken the official seal over the stone, over the grave, and stolen the body of Jesus away. So they were meeting secretly, locked away in a safe place, living in fear of the authorities. Why, if they could do that to Jesus, maybe they could do that to them. And suddenly, Jesus comes and stands in the middle of them. Now, we have to understand, this must have been a bit of a shocking experience for the disciples. And we get a hint of that because he didn't just drop in and say, "Hey guys, how you doing?" Instead, his first words are, "Peace be with you." In other words, "Whoa, settle down guys, it's just me and not a ghost." That would be Ken's somewhat loose translation, just so you know. Then he turns to Thomas, looks him in the eye, and says to him, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Interesting enough, we have no record of Thomas actually doing that. Instead, he simply blurts out, "My God, my Lord and my God." And then Jesus speaks directly to Thomas, but he really speaks to us all here. Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who haven't seen me and believe anyway." And by the way, those who haven't had the privilege of seeing the risen Christ in person, to see the scars and the cuts and believe anyway, that's you and me. We've not seen and yet we believe. Back in the 1880s, Nietzsche declared, "God is dead." And before the turn of the century, populist thinkers like Shaw and Wells chimed in saying, the 20th century would mark the end of the world's religious phase. And yet today, Nietzsche and Shaw and Wells have long since decayed in their graves, and God continues to live. That's the message of Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Recently, I read an article about an African Muslim that converted to Christ. The cost of his decision was great. And someone asked him, "Why did you make this choice? Why did you become a Christian?" His answer should actually be the answer for all of us. "Well, it's like this," he explained. "Suppose you were going down a road when suddenly it forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to take.
But there at the fork in the road, you could see two persons. One dead and one alive. To which one are you going to inquire the way? You see, the leader of every other religion has died and is buried. Their faithful followers take pilgrimages to visit their remains. But it's not true of Jesus. You can't visit his remains. You can only visit his empty grave because he isn't there. He arose. Jesus broke through the chains of death and arose from the grave. Jesus died because he loves us so much that he was willing to take our place as the ultimate and perfect sacrifice. And he rose to show us that death has no victory over a soul committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You and I stand where Thomas of old stood those many years ago. If he's alive, then our task is to simply come to the cross, accept that he paid the price for our sins, and respond to that love with our hearts and our lives. We see Thomas in this story at two life stages. Thomas the doubter, unsure, frustrated, fearful, disbelieving. And Thomas the believer and willing follower of a risen Jesus. And all of us must ultimately identify with these two sides of Thomas. So which side of the equation are you on today? Might this be the day to turn that corner and say with Thomas of old, Lord, I believe. If you haven't turned that corner, know that today is the ideal time to do just that. He's holding out to you those nail-scarred hands, inviting you to come into his embrace and his love. It starts with the same prayer that Thomas prayed. Lord, I believe. Will you come to him today? We're going to take a few moments and have communion. And communion is one of the powerful ways that we both celebrate and remember the death and resurrection of Jesus. We take a little bit of bread as a symbol of our understanding that Jesus was broken, the willing sacrifice in our place. And then we take a bit of juice to remind ourselves that because of Jesus' death and with Jesus' resurrection, we have been given a new covenant, a new relationship with God that is built on our acceptance of him as Lord, and it is almost like a toast. An agreement that this new relationship with God is mine as well. We believe that this taking of communion is a sacred process, a testimony of our relationship to Jesus. If you haven't made that step of moving from doubt to lordship, you can do that right now. No formal process. No secret to learn, no initiation rites. God simply asks us to invite God into our heart and our life, even right now. It is accepting that we are so often falling short of God's ideal, but that even knowing that, Christ's sacrifice was good enough to cover all of our shortcomings. It's a simple prayer, but it has life-changing consequences. If you're not ready to take that step, if you, like Thomas, need some time to think it through and deal with your doubts and questions, that's fine. But I invite you just maybe to pass up on this communion elements today. Because I don't want you to lie to God, even in this moment, on this day when we celebrate his resurrection. We have been starting communion over the last little while by reciting the Apostles' Creed, remembering all the things that we know to be true about our risen Lord. And Suzanne is going to come and lead us in reciting together the Apostles' Creed.
Why don't you stand up with me and say this creed that we declare to God. I believe in God, Join with me and say it.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son,
our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. On your table, or the ushers have given you one, you have a little cup, and I would invite you to take that cup now. Now, you'll notice that there is a clear layer on top of the cup, and it's sometimes a little hard to get to. When I tried this week, I struggled quite a bit. But there's a clear layer on top, and when you peel that clear layer back, it allows you to access a wafer, a thing. And then under that, the next tab will allow you to access the juice. So I'm going to simply say a prayer now and bless the elements, and then as the worship team leads us, I invite you around your table to celebrate communion. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this incredible gift we have of life through you. And I thank you for this symbol that you gave us at that Last Supper of taking bread and juice and helping us that whenever we take these things, we remember who you are. And we remember the power of the resurrection. And we remember this wonderful new covenant we have because of your love. So bless this as we take it today. Bless the bread and the juice as we stand before you today, a risen Lord. Amen.